Support for The Common comes from Bluey's Big Play. Join Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili in their first ever live stage show, a fun-filled show made for the whole family at the Box Center Wang Theater, May 18th and 19th. Tickets at boxcenter.org. Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR Statehouse reporter Walter Wuffman, welcome back to The Common.
Hey, Darryl. Thanks for having me.
Man, Walt, we got you here because we're talking weed.
Yes, we are.
We're talking weed with Walter Wuffman. If only it was a Wednesday, man, I could have really nailed that.
We'll plan better next time.
But seriously, Walt, we got you here because Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey plans to pardon all people convicted of simple marijuana possession in the state. So that sounds like a lot of people. And if approved, the pardon would forgive all state court misdemeanor convictions for possession of marijuana before March 13th of this year, 2024. So let's jump right into it, Walt. Tell us about the details of this pardon. I want to know who is eligible, how many people are we talking about, and when would the pardons officially go into effect?
Yeah, so this is a big deal. The people eligible for this pardon go back decades. Many, many people in Massachusetts have simple possession convictions on their criminal records. When Governor Healey was announcing this at the State House this week, she said this is the most sweeping marijuana pardon ever issued by a governor anywhere in the country. Let's listen.
That's because this pardon will apply to all misdemeanor possession convictions in the state courts. Those eligible number in the hundreds of thousands.
So this is hundreds of thousands of people. The state does not yet have an exact number of how many people it's going to affect. But, you know, this goes back, as you said, from March 13th, back decades and decades and decades. It's going to affect a lot of people.
Got it. And when exactly does it go into effect?
So this still needs approval from the governor's council, which we've talked about before in the context of, you know, this is a elected group of eight people who approve judicial nominations and pardons in the state. You know, we talked about when they were looking at Maura Healey's pick for the Supreme Judicial Court, they also need to approve this blanket pardon. They're scheduled to meet at the end of this month.
Okay. Now, before we continue, Walt, there's two points of clarification I want to make for the listener. My first one is, tell us who this does not apply to.
So this does not apply to distribution or trafficking or operating under the influence charges. This only applies to simple misdemeanor possession convictions.
Got it. Okay, and the second point is, this is a pardon, not to be confused with an expungement. Can you explain the difference there?
That's right, and there is an important difference. So a pardon is a power that governors and presidents have to essentially forgive someone of their crime. You might remember President Trump in his final days in office went on this sort of pardon spree where he granted clemency to Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his political advisor, Roger Stone. Maura Healey has used her power of pardon 13 times in her first year of office, which is the most of any Massachusetts governor since Michael Dukakis. What it is essentially forgiveness. Expungement is something different. Expungement removes a charge or a conviction from someone's record completely. So if someone were looking for it in a background check, it wouldn't show up. So to sort of understand this better, I called a law professor at Suffolk University named Chris Dearborn. He's the director of the Suffolk Defenders Program. And here's how he sort of described pardoning versus expungement.
You can pardon somebody all you want, but if there's still a paper trail for the conduct and there's still a stigma attached to the conduct, somebody can still find it.
So he added, you know, it's still a powerful symbolic gesture and an actual gesture to pardon someone of their crime, but it is different than expungement, which actually erases something from the record.
Understood. Thank you for that, Walt. Now, I want to get into the motivation behind this. Why did Governor Maura Healey make this move?
So Governor Healey says she's answering the call from President Biden, who in October of 2022 pardoned thousands of people with federal convictions for marijuana possession. That's actually a much smaller pool than people with state charges. So when he did that, he called on governors across the country to use their own pardon power to do exactly what Maura Healey is doing, which is to pardon anyone convicted of simple marijuana possession in their states.
Mm-hmm. So this was inspired by the president.
It is. There are also other governors across the country who have done different versions of this. So in Colorado, Democratic Governor Jared Polis has issued over 1,300 pardons. In Oregon in 2022, then Governor Kate Brown pardoned about 47,000 people. What Governor Healey's doing is a much larger group, and it's automatic. So no one has to ask for this pardon. No one has to apply. It is going to automatically apply to their record.
Got it. I want to talk about these potential pardons. For the people who have been living with this minor infraction on their record, how would this change things for them?
Yes, there were multiple people at the press conference this week who got up and spoke about, you know, their experience of being young and having a possession charge on their record and the ways that it sort of limited their entire life course, the ways it affected them getting a job or finding housing. There was one business owner who I believe you've actually spoken to on the show. His name is Devin Alexander. He's a cannabis entrepreneur, but he said, you know, his dream growing up was to be in the U.S. Air Force, and having a marijuana conviction on his record kind of closed that door for him.
Hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Devin Alexander. We had him on to talk about his business role in relief on a previous episode a while back. This feels like a good place to take a break, Walt. But when we get back, I want to talk more about the reactions to Healey's announcement and the equity impacts of all of this. So we'll be right back.
Bluey, Bingo, Bandit, and Chili are coming to a theater near you.
Do you want to play musical statues with us?
Join the Healers in their first ever live stage show, Bluey's Big Play.
Look, Mom, Dad's playing with us.
A fun-filled show made for the whole family. It's Bluey brought to real life. Book now for Bluey's Big Play. We can't wait to see you there.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR Statehouse reporter Walter Wuthman. So, Walt, we are talking about Governor Maura Healey's announcement to pardon all convictions for simple marijuana possession in the state. If approved, her office says that could help out hundreds of thousands of people. So what I want to know right now is, how are advocates reacting to the governor's announcement?
So I'd say that the governor is receiving pretty much universal applause for this news. At the press conference on Wednesday, she stood alongside members of law enforcement, like the police chief from Newton and various district attorneys. But then also, you know, she's receiving a lot of praise from the ACLU of Massachusetts, you know, an organization that is often at odds with law enforcement in the courts. The governor has said this is really about equity and for correcting some of the disparities we have seen in law enforcement's response to the federal war on drugs. There's this 2016 report from the ACLU of Massachusetts that finds that, you know, while Black people represent only 8% of the state's population, they comprise 24%, or almost a quarter, of marijuana possession arrests. So while that's not a perfect metric, you can imagine that of these hundreds of thousands of pardons, probably a large number of people are represented from communities of color, poor communities, and historically impacted by the government's war on drugs.
We're just talking about marijuana and one specific type of marijuana crime, right? Should we expect for Governor Healey and other state officials to push even further into some of those charges that are exempt from this?
That's a very good question, and they're not signaling that right now. But a lot of these groups who are praising her for this move are also pushing her to go further. Even at the press conference, they were saying this is a great first step, but other crimes should be included. Distribution and trafficking, so essentially selling a product that is now legal, under the same logic that no one should be penalized for possessing something that is now legal, I think there's a valid argument to be made that people should not be penalized for selling something that is also now legal to sell. So I think that the advocates are going to keep the pressure on and hope that Governor Healey will continue to use her pardon power in the future. And I would just add that you know, Governor Healey has shown she's much more willing to use this power of pardon. She pardoned 13 people in her first year in office. For comparison, Governor Baker pardoned 15 people over his entire 8 years, his two terms as governor.
All right. Thank you for that, Walt, because you pretty much answered my next question by explaining how many pardons Governor Healey has done and how many her predecessor, Charlie Baker, has done. Thank you for that. But I want to take a step back and talk about her use of her pardon power in a different way. And I want to ask you, what does her move in pardoning people with simple marijuana possessions tell us about her administration so far?
I think it shows that, you know, this one, this was a campaign promise of Maura Healey when she was campaigning as attorney general. She has now followed through on it. So clearly she keeps track of things that she promised and she does want to deliver on them. It also shows that she's willing to be much more ambitious and creative in the use of this power her office has, which is to pardon. I will say, though, that, you know, while pardoning is, it is an actual and symbolic forgiveness, it is different than expungement, as we talked about, which is to completely erase a conviction from someone's record. So if a landlord pulled, you know, information from you as part of a background check, it just wouldn't even show up at all. Massachusetts does have an expungement process as part of a 2018 criminal justice reform law, but it's been criticized as overly bureaucratic and hard to access, and multiple reports have found that very few people have used it.
Yeah, talk to us about, you know, who has the power to expunge offenses?
The legislature has the power to create new laws around expungement. So they did that back in 2018, and they created this expungement process, but advocates and people who've used it have pointed out a lot of flaws in it. So I think another thing people are calling for, and I spoke to Shalene Tidal about this yesterday, she's a former commissioner on the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission. She's now the director of the Parabola Center for Law and Policy. She says that her next priority, you know, while applauding Healey for doing this, is she'd love to see the legislature move toward an automatic expungement process to really clear the records of these hundreds of thousands of people with simple marijuana possession convictions.
And what do you think the governor's council is going to do?
So they meet at the end of this month. It's likely going to be on their agenda right away. I think they're going to pass it. I spoke briefly with governor's council member Paul DiPaolo right after the event this week. Here's a little bit of what he told me.
As she noted, it's the right thing to do. These are crimes that we no longer consider crimes, and they're convictions and barriers to employment and education and workforce that have disproportionately impacted Black and Latino communities.
And he went on to say that he's not the only council member to feel that way. I think it's pretty safe to say this is going to be approved. And as soon as it is approved, the automatic pardoning process can begin. Governor Healey didn't give an exact timeline, but she said that the courts will move as quickly as possible to get everyone eligible for this pardoned.
Understood. Walt, man, thank you so much for coming through. As always, it is a pleasure, especially getting to talk weed with you.
Thanks, Daryl.
But seriously, man, this was great. Thank you so much for your reporting. And yeah, man, always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. We'll do it again.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. Let us know, how are you liking The Common? How are you liking the show? Please tell us. Thank you to everybody who's already done it. Also, If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And now it's that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan with help from CCU. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Samantha Joshi and Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is me from Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.